Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello, hello, welcome. This is Morgana and...
And I'm Devin.
my very deeply tolerant husband who's coming along for the ride. So I wanted to do the show, obviously. This is kind of my project because I was listening, for an example, I was listening to Michael Bublé's song before the show, and there's that line where he says, I've broken my heart so many times now, I've lost track. And that was certainly my story. Devin and I met in 2012. We were both 45. We both had a perfect track record of romantic failure. And so I really just wanted to take on all that nonsense about it being too late or we're too old. And really the biggest shock of my life was how much better love got in midlife, dating got in midlife. Nobody told me that. I was raised on the opposite. So I wanted to do a show about love. And we were going to start this. I scheduled it a few weeks back when the world was a completely different place. And when the pandemic hit, I had a moment of doubt where, is this really the right time to be doing an upbeat, happy show about love? And then I thought, well, we're all trapped at home anyway. So what better thing to focus on? And, you know, love is crazy. And love brings out our crazy, and I'm sure we will devote a whole episode to that. But it's, wow, it's even more intense when you are trapped together 24/7. I am kind of enjoying it. Devin, it's a little different for you?
Oh, well, you know, I like outside, and I like a community of human beings that you can shake hands with and high five and give hugs, and we're fine. At the end of the day, we're fine. We're doing all the things that is recommended. And so we've sequestered ourselves, going out only when necessary. And it's doable. I don't think this is sort of a highlight. I don't know if anyone's going to look back when the dust settles and go, wow, that was something I just want to keep doing over and over again. The good news is we're in love and we do. I mean, the thing is, when Morgana was just talking about, you know, sort of our perhaps disastrous romantic history, the good news is I believe we were paying attention. I think we learned from our mistakes. I mean, and I think ultimately at the end of the day, our relationship is a culmination of all those negative aspects, all the lemons that we made lemonade with. So we could have, so we're capable of having a good relationship. And I guess that's why my wife wanted to do this show and drag me kicking and screaming. But here I am, excited, ready to represent the Mars energy, you know, the maleness. And
how this show is going to go is, okay, we're going to talk about love. We're going to have a different focus every episode. And then we're going to open up the lines to your calls for some free laser love coaching, which I think is actually going to be the strongest part of the show. But before that, you have to sit through us talking about love. And because this is the first episode and some listeners may not know who we are, I wanted to focus on the weirdest aspect of our relationship is we are getting married 100 times in 100 countries.
I don't know if that's weird. I think that's a selling point. I think that's a good thing.
Oh, well, I'm not complaining. You know, I got married for the first time at 47, so we're making up for lost time. And so I thought I'll have Devin tell the story and I'll interrupt it like the perfect times. And the reason is because this is Devin's story to tell. It was his idea. I met the human being on Earth who is more romantic than I am, which is really shocking to me. So we met at 45, and at 47, Devin was in South Africa and met a lion. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I did meet a lion. But so let me back up for a second. Okay. So part of the reason why we want to do this, and obviously we'll get into this in much greater detail, is that I've been in the travel industry. I've been an editor and a publisher of a website called In the No Traveler, and have written travel articles for a great many websites and magazines over the last 17 years. So, you know, travel is deeply embedded in my heart and my mind as something that is important. So,
and by the way, I was saying to the universe for years before I met Devin that I wanted to travel the world with the love of my life. And here he is. Keep going.
Oh, okay, great. And so what had happened was, obviously, my wife and I started dating, and there was a point after we had been together for a little while where I was on an assignment quite literally 7 miles from the border of Botswana in South Africa. And we were we were in Medikwe National Park, which is, you know, that is where lions and elephants and giraffes and rhinoceros roam free. And if you ever do this, you should absolutely take a telephoto lens so you can get all the details. And so that said, we were, you know, I was out in the bush at this beautiful property. And if I wanted to speak to my wife, who at the time was running a retreat in Bali, the only way that I could communicate with her was by having a guy show up at 3:45 a.m. in the morning and escort me to this one room where they had an internet area, which is a very generous way to describe what they had. And because there were lions, et cetera. So they needed a guy who knew how to deal with lions, which it's one guy and not a team of guys. That didn't give me a lot of hope. But that said, he'd wake me up at 3:45 so I could have this sort of scratchy Skype communication with my wife for 5 minutes before she would start her event in Bali.
I wasn't your wife yet.
Oh, well, you are now.
Okay.
and so we'd get escorted, and so we'd have this 5 minute long conversation. And there was this one morning, a matter of fact, it was the day after some critter got torn apart by a pack of wild dogs, which did not give me a lot of hope in this whole thing. But so I'm being escorted by this guy who had some sort of a weird hammer like thing, is sort of like, that's your defense. That's no good to me. Like, you should have a machine gun and a suit of armor. But be that as it may, he's escorting me. And quite literally, I heard a lion roar, and it was pitch black outside. He had sort of like a little pen light flashlight with him, and you couldn't see anything. And there is a very different vibe that is going on when you hear a lion roar behind you rather than a lion at the beginning of a movie or a lion at the zoo. This is like, there are no fences here. And my first response after my heart leapt into my throat was to kind of bolt. And I mean, this is his real job. His real job was to grab me by the arm and say, if you run, you're dead. So I stood there petrified. It was absolutely terrifying. And shortly after that, there is sort of like a giant bush next to us, which shook violently. In other words, the lion's roar upset whatever critter was inside of that bush. And so we're standing there, and he was like, okay, now we walk really slowly to get to this little room. And so I'm in this little room, panicked, and he's like taking his little baby flashlight and his little baby hammer, and he's going to go deal with this lion all by himself, which is insane. And he leaves me there. Long story short, I climbed up on like the highest table I could as if that was going to do much of anything. And eventually I got on the Skype call with my future wife, who is also my wife, sitting next to me. And, you know, we had a conversation, and it really took like a couple days later where I realized that here I was, I'm waking up in the middle of the night, kind of walking through shark infested waters, but it's really lion infested dunes. So I can have this really kind of short, weird, uncomfortable, staticky phone conversation with this person. And it was then where I really got it. I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't in love. And all of a sudden, all the pieces, sort of all the tumblers fell into place in my brain. And the idea, because we were closing in on it. I mean, we were clearly an exclusive relationship. We were in love. I mean, there was no question. There was lots of wonderful qualities that she had. And I was certainly on Team Morgana. But, you know, you're still questioning because, well, because I'm the last one to know. And it finally, you know, it finally dawned on me. And when it did, I knew that it was like, okay. A matter of fact, I ended up speaking to a number of women that I met on this trip. One morning on safari, I was having this conversation with all the women who were on the safari too. Like, okay, I'm thinking of proposing to this woman. What do you think? And they were all a quiver and in glee over this. And it was sort of an exciting time. And so I think I proposed over the internet.
Yes, you did. I just finished leading my Money Goddess retreat in Bali. And I hang out for usually a week afterwards just to relax and decompress. And I had this week of horrible conversations with Devin where I didn't know any of this was going on. Every time we got on Skype, he would start off with, "I don't think you're the right woman for me." And I would die inside. And then the next day would be, "I don't think I'm the right man for you." And we would have these horrible conversations that were coming out of the blue because things had been going so easily for so long, at least from my perspective. But Devin has this really, really masterful way of bringing up these awfully uncomfortable conversations and then ending them in a way that makes me feel even more loved and more secure, which is why we're together. If he left me feeling insecure and not knowing where I stand, I would not stay in a relationship with him. But he, for this one week, we had these awful, conversations that really blindsided me, but he would always end saying, I'm only having this conversation because I really care about you and I want this to work. And then I would sigh and feel like, okay, I can live another day. And then we would go through the whole thing all over again the next day. And that happened for about 4 or 5 days. And then he proposed. And it was like whiplash. I totally didn't see that coming. I knew we were going to get married. I had known that for a year already. I didn't need a lion to let me know. I just knew. I felt very safe and very secure in the relationship. People were always asking if we were engaged, what was going to happen. And I was so comfortable. I didn't need to be engaged. I just knew. And I made a decision about a year earlier that when he asked, I would say yes. Because for about 10 years, every time I would date somebody, I could see an expiration above their head. Like, oh, well, he's fun to date now, but not going to last. I'll give it 2 dates or I'll give it a week or I'll give it 3 months max. But I kept waiting for the expiration date to show up above Devin and it still hasn't. So I just kind of made a decision that, yeah, okay, this is the person I can spend my life with. The first time I've made that decision in my whole life, and I was 47. I guess I made the decision at 46. And so he asked, and I wasn't ready because I thought it would take him a few more years to get there. So I really freaked out. And if I hadn't already decided, I don't know if I could have gone through with it because you don't live 47 years without getting married. And if you don't have commitment issues, and I have commitment issues. And Devin was so gentle about it. But so he proposed and I shorten my trip, hopped on a plane, went home, got home on a Thursday, picked him up on a Friday, and then we eloped. And that's how it all began. And then there's a twist. You want to take over?
What's the twist?
We kept getting married.
Oh, right. Okay. So the twist was we that's correct. We did get married. We got married, and then what it ended up happening was I had an assignment in Puerto Vallarta, which is a charming seaside town in Mexico. If you've been there, you know that it is beautiful and there's lots to do and it's fun and it's interesting. And so the long story short, when the people who were hosting me realized that I had just gotten married, they were like, "Hey, just why don't you bring her along? It'll be on us. We love it, and it'll be like a little honeymoon for you." Because I don't think we had planned a honeymoon at that stage of the game, and
we hadn't even planned rings. We got married, then told our parents, and then went ring shopping the next day.
Well, yeah, no, that's true. And if I remember correctly, I don't know if this is a secret or not, but the ring that I picked, I got in like, it was like a giant plastic bin of rings, like $7 rings. So the ring
sterling
that I'm,
silver.
It was sterling silver, but it was a $7 ring. And it's still the same ring that I've worn today. But the idea in my brain at the time was that if I lost the $7 ring, there was a whole jug to replace the ring with. And that was like safe, because then who would know? So maybe I've gone through 40 of these rings and I just have a stockpile of the $7, you know, sort of nondescript silver bands. So anyway, we're in Mexico in Puerto Vallarta, and there was just a point where they were like, "Hey, we're just going to dump you off downtown and walk around and have a great time, and we'll pick you up in a few hours." So we are in downtown Puerto Vallarta, and we are walking by Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is sort of their iconic cathedral. It's still in use. It's about 150, 160 years old. And I said it as totally as a goof. I turned to her and I turned to Morgana and I said, "How about we go in there and get married again?" And it was not some sort of deep, insightful, thoughtful, meaningful moment. This was like, "Oh, I'm being a goof. Aren't I hilarious?" And so I said this to her, and she kind of made a face. And then she said, "Absolutely." And then, ironically, the woman standing next to us was a woman who I knew from this trip. And she is Tamalee from Tamalee's Tips, and she's a big internet superstar and does cooking and lifestyle and travel. And she said, "Oh my gosh, I'm ordained." So I took my $7 ring off and I handed it to her and I said, "Great, you're presiding. Let's go." And Morgana was down. And so we marched to the front, and there were people quite literally in the pews praying, being religious and spiritual. And I'm like going to use their spiritual place as this goofy idea. And aren't I ridiculous and spontaneous? And so we marched up to the front of, you know, there was nobody at the dais. So, and the place wasn't packed, but there were people in it. And so we marched to the front, and within a couple minutes, Tamalee was sort of winging this wedding, and she was talking about her relationship. She was talking about the love that she had for her husband. And then while she was talking, while I'm still thinking, "Oh, you know, this is just some ridiculous, goofy thing," I thought, you know, during the last set of vows, there were other things that I could have said. And I think some of them were like, what can I do to help promote my wife's happiness, even if it doesn't make me happy per se, right? Because we'll get into this, obviously, but I believe that love is an action and that action is service. I got that from a friend of mine, Dave, and I've used it a million times since then. And so, but I'm thinking, okay, so how am I going to be of service to this woman? And how am I going to let her know that? Like, how am I going to say it? So that's what I was thinking of. And so at some point, Tamalee says, "Okay, so, you know, what you got?" And she said it in much more poetic language. And so I started re-saying these vows plus this other stuff that I had not said the first go round. And while I'm thinking it's a goof, it was clear that even if I was thinking it was a goof, it was clearly not a goof to my future wife, i.e. the woman sitting next to me.
And I was already your wife at that time.
Oh, right. She was. Right. I'm glad we have these
clarifications.
I'm glad we have these clarification points. So I'm saying these vows, and it was not a goof to Morgana. As a matter of fact, it wasn't a goof to Tamalee. And I think, the people in the cathedral were actually, when I looked around, the people were sort of like on the edge of their seat. I mean, they knew that there was something going on. We weren't dressed for a wedding because it was a very impromptu thing.
We were sweaty and oily from a massage 2 hours earlier. No makeup. Not looking our best. It doesn't matter.
Right. And I don't wear makeup as a general rule because I'm a boy. But that all said, it turned out to be this great moment. And so it was this little moment that I had. It was probably a couple hours later. I think we were sitting in some restaurant and Tamalee had just taken a picture of us. And I remember sort of thinking that, wow, this moment that we just had, as sort of silly as it was not silly to my wife.
Well, it hit me so much deeper the second time in the cathedral. We had more witnesses. And I think, and this will sound ridiculous, but I was really aware the first time I spoke my vows to Devin that I had no experience being married and I had no idea what that meant, really. I was just kind of winging it. And I had only 13 days of experience being married, but it felt like more than the first time. And so the vows felt deeper. And this is the thing, every time we marry each other, we know each other a little bit more, a little bit differently, a little bit deeper. So it goes to a deeper place every time. And we make up vows every time. We aren't reciting anything. So I don't know what Devin will say. I just know that he tends to be much better at this than I am. And it really hit me in a very deep place. It felt even more real the second time round.
Yeah, and I think so. My takeaway from it was, oh, well, you know, why don't we do this? I mean, probably this was an idea that formulated. It probably took a week for things to kind of like come together in my mind, because I initially thought, oh, well, that was great. We should do that again. Not so much because, and again, this goes back to the boy comment I just made. I don't know if I need to hear it all the time, but what I do know is that it was really meaningful to my wife. Like, I guess what it is that the way we experience love and how we understand love kind of goes in a bunch of different directions for each individual person. But what I understood was, is that my making this big deal out of our love, even if it's just for this moment, and it's not necessarily like the first wedding per se, what it did was, it was sort of like, I knew that she felt like she was on solid ground. And I think when I think back on it, I think it's very easy that, okay, we have this lovely romantic moment. We have this wonderful gesture, and isn't it fantastic? And isn't it wonderful and handholding? And then 6 months go by, or years go by, and then all of a sudden money comes into play, or there's sickness in a family or whatever. And all of a sudden that special thing that you had for each other kind of gets put on hold or taken for granted. And this was a way of me sort of being able to re-solidify for Morgana what the relationship meant to me. And so it was like, okay, we're taking a time out from our mundane, our routine life to give this special thing. And obviously, because I love travel, she loves travel, that this was sort of like the most obvious thing to do, is just keep traveling, keep going around the world. Of course, I do need to point out, we're sort of like in the middle of a pandemic. And I certainly, if you're listening to this, I hope that you are well. And if you're not well, that you're getting the care that you need, and know that you are in our prayers. And I certainly think we're going to be better for it, but we can talk more about that later. But we do want to talk about travel, but it's just, you know, how much can we talk about travel right now when we're all sort of like in our living rooms?
So I don't know if I gave the call-in numbers because I do want to open up the lines to callers. One thing before we jump into to that, I'll obviously this is not scripted. To call in for laser coaching, you can call toll-free 888-627-6008. And if you are in the United States or Canada, you can call directly at 323-744-4831. I probably have to say that again slower. Toll-free anywhere in the world, 888-627-6008. And if you're in the U.S. or Canada, you can call direct at 323-744-4831. And I wanted to just point out one thing before we take calls, and that's actually what I'm really excited about. But my love language is I need to hear it all the time. I need to hear that I'm loved. Devin doesn't. That's not his thing. But because Devin knows that words of affirmation make me really happy, he gives me these words of affirmations through marital vows. Devin's, I think, my guess that your love language, Devin, would be acts of service.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to fall back on the boy thing. But I get it. You know, I think that there are things that we need as not only as men and women, but just as human beings to feel secure. Like that's why we create things like vows. That's why we do special things, because it allows us to feel loved and secure and peaceful. And the truth of the matter is if my home life isn't going well, then the rest of my life isn't going well. But if Morgana, if like I know my wife feels solid with the universe, I mean, I know this is cliche, but happy wife, happy life, then I'm, you know, the rest of it's tolerable. Like, okay, I can manage this. I don't have to worry about it. I'm going home. We're in a happy space, you know, and don't get me wrong. We're certainly not the perfect couple. But we are pretty mindful about things. And I think because of the getting married a lot motif to it. And there, by the way, getting married 100 times is, you know, like that's sort of like the theoretical goal. But I guarantee you, if for some reason we go on a world tour or something like that and get married in 100 countries, then we'll just keep going because there's no reason not to. And even if we hit to like the 196, there's still all kinds of interesting regions that aren't necessarily countries per se. And so we'll go to Christmas Island. You know what I mean? We'll go to Greenland. We'll go to places that are sort of like their own unique flair, that have their own culture. And so I guess what I'm saying is we're probably not going to run out of countries. And so what that means is I get to be mindful of being useful, you know, as much as possible. And by the way, this is just an aside thing. I wanted to say how sort of uniquely bizarre and interesting it is that we actually have a toll-free number and that somebody is actually going to actually call in. And as it turns out, we have
Elena. Elena
on line two. Was that it?
Yes, whatever line she is. Put her on. Let's hear what Elena has to say.
Want to listen your program?
Okay. I'm not sure what program that is. Which one?
Well, I think it might be the one that we're talking on right now, and I think that is BBS Radio.
Okay.
And I think it's / sexy midlife.
No, crazy / crazy sexy midlife love.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so I guess what I was having was some sort of a senior moment. This must be the midlife part where I forgot the name of the show, but maybe I'll get used to it.
I don't know if this is Devin's relationship program, Mystical Secrets to Modern Love, or one of my financial alchemy programs. If you can just let either shoot us an email at, what's a good place? wecare@morganaray.com is a good email address. Or just tell the operators. We can follow up with you after the show. But what we're doing right now is just taking calls. If you have any pain about relationship, and it doesn't matter whether you are in one or out of one, because we have lots of experience with both. I think we have Via from Montreal. Via, go ahead.
I'm just listening for the moment.
Okay, great. Terrific.
Then, well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, obviously, we are new at this. This is our first go, so we're going to work out the kinks. If somebody has a question, I don't know how it works with the operators. If you can screen for questions ahead of time, that would be helpful, because I really don't know. But until then, let's see.
We can talk about love.
We can talk about love. Devin, what was your favorite wedding?
Oh, well, that's easy. I think, and ironically, I'm writing about it right now. We went to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to back up to talk about my favorite wedding. We were in Slovenia, and I think we were just coming out of my wife's favorite wedding, which she'll tell you about in a couple of minutes. But we were in Slovenia, and I had gotten an email from the country of San Marino that I had written to, basically saying, hey, I'm coming into town. We'd love to talk to you. I think we're going to get married there. Do you have a hobo in a shady glen that we can borrow? And we'd be great. And so I never heard from them, and which was fine. San Marino, for those who don't know, is a really tiny dot of a country that is surrounded by Italy. As a matter of fact, I think they're having a fairly challenging time right now with the virus. So they have a special place in my heart. And basically, we'd gone up there. They had invited us, and they wanted to do a recreation of a Middle Ages Latin Vulgari wedding, which was like, that's total Dungeons and Dragons stuff. And I had, if I'm honest, I had no interest. Like, we were going to Florence, and I was like, oh, who cares about this? But I read it, and they were like, hey, we want to do this recreated wedding. I didn't know what they were talking about. And I quite literally wrote them, hey, thanks, but no thanks. We're in Italy. We're doing our own thing. Many blessings to you. And before I hit send, I thought, well, maybe I should at least throw this at my wife. And I told her about the Latin Vulgari wedding in the Middle Ages, and she almost...
And costumes and a thousand-year-old tower.
All
and
of that.
I flipped out. My grandmother created the original Renaissance pleasure fair, the very first one in the world, back in the 60s, maybe 2 years before I was born. So I have had that dream of my Renaissance pleasure fair wedding for decades, and somebody's offering us this costume wedding and my husband's going to turn it down. Are you kidding?
Yeah, no, it sounded absurd. But that said, you know, after she did that sort of, she had that like Tom Cruise moment. I don't know if anybody remembers when he was on Oprah and he sort of went berserk because she said, are you in love? And he jumped up and made a big show of it. Anyway, my wife did something comparable. And so I wrote them back and basically said, hey, we'll be there. And what do we need to do? And their response was, no, we'll take care of everything. And they did. They were lovely. And San Marino is, again, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. It's pristine. It's clean. And it's got like three medieval castles.
At the tippy top of these high, high mountains, so are these breathtaking views in every direction.
Yeah. And so it was. It's a very pretty place, and it does have some great views. And there's really only one way up, and I think it comes out of Rimini, which is on the coast of Italy, and then you have to take this one bus to get to San Marino. And when we got there, anyway, long story short, what they ended up doing was they set up a they quite literally set up, and it was like something like 50 different people that were in costume.
I think they all worked for the government, and I was in medieval underwear in a castle. It was an all-day thing, waiting for my husband to essentially buy me from my pretend father.
Right, and her pretend father, who was a guy who was former French Foreign Legion and a former bodyguard to the Pope. And anytime, I'm Facebook friends with him now, anytime there's a picture of him, and he's like 6'4" and like a grizzly bear kind of a character, and any picture is him shooting a bazooka or has a machine gun or is, like wrestling a bear or, you know, throwing a bull to the ground.
That's my dad, yeah, Dan Marino.
total badass, like really like a very tough guy. And so he's standing there like quite literally like in chainmail. And so he was taking this, I'm going to be the father of the bride, incredibly seriously. And he was like, no joke. Like anytime I would look at him, he would start to pull out his sword, which was like a giant sword. And I had like a little child's baby sword. And so I pull mine out. Anyway, he didn't speak any English, but you know, I got the gist. Like if you mess with her, I'm going to, you know, cut you to ribbons with my sword. And it was clear that he knew how to use it. So we had this wedding in the castle, and
as soon as they agreed on the dowry and had the contract, a bunch of ladies in waiting and knights carried up clothing, and the ladies started singing medieval Italian songs and dressing me up, and then they escorted me down this path where Devin and I got married.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. I mean, it was pageantry. And there was just like, I had like a court of people that were supposed to do my bidding. I had a mother and father that was given to me. And the guy that they gave me was like me, some tiny, scrawny guy, you know, because I was like, Dad, could you take care of, my wife's fake father, who was, again, super deluxe badass. And so we had this incredible wedding, and they had quite literally handwritten out the marriage contract that we have framed in our home, and they tied it. And I mean, everything was sort of like they went out of their way to really make an incredible medieval wedding.
And I think if you want to get married there, you can actually do that in San Marino. You can have a wedding like that there for a fraction of what you would ever, ever, ever spend in the States when the pandemic is over. What happened after the wedding, Devin?
What happened after the wedding? They took us to the sort of like at the top end of the castle. They took us to this sort of a courtyard, and it was beautiful, and it overlooked the city, and there was like 50 people there, and they were dancing and singing.
And the punchline.
I know, we're getting to that. Why are we in a rush? We have all this wonderful time to fill.
All right.
And so they are dancing and singing, and there was a point where they, I believe they had presented my wife with a scarf and me with a tie of the colors of San Marino, which was really a very, very lovely gesture. And then there was this odd point where my new fake father-in-law took me by the hand and sort of pulled me forward into what was now a circle around us. And he started yelling about something in Italian. I have no idea. And then he was kind of beckoning me to kneel down. But it took like quite a bit of time for me to figure out what precisely he wanted until like he squeezed the life out of my hand. And I kind of went on one knee organically. And then he knighted me. There was like a whole thing, like in other words, like the tip of his blade on each one of my shoulders and then the head. And there was a prayer and there was chanting and cheering. And I gotta say, of all the Dungeons and Dragons dreams a young boy could have, being knighted in the country of San Marino in its old ancient castle, much of which happened in front of 150 Korean tourists, this was, you know, about as good and as fun as it gets. And that said, we've had some crazy good, you know, crazy good weddings. And I guess we're probably going to get to them as time marches on. So, but that said, my lovely wife.
Well, I'm going to give out the call-in number again, because what this show is really going to be as weeks go forward, we're going to have different topics. Like, we're going to have this episode is why 100 weddings. But we're also going to talk about, you know, the whole notion of soulmates, twin flames, the one. We're going to talk about wish lists and must haves. We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about Heartbreak Hotel. We're going to talk about the purpose of love. We're going to talk about men versus women, all sorts of... One of my notes is crazy train.
Is there really a men versus women at this stage?
You have some opinions about how men and women are different. Speaking of which, we invite you to go to crazysexymidlifelove.com because this show right now is bi-weekly, meaning every other week. So it can be hard to know when a show's coming. But if you go to crazysexymidlifelove.com and just sign up for free, we will send you an email the day before our next show in 2 weeks. Because again, you know, we decided to do this at that time. We did a lot of world traveling. Devin was supposed to leave for Egypt tomorrow and come back in 2 weeks, the day before our next show. He's not. So the phone number to call, if you have any questions, if you're having a rough time dating or feeling challenged being imprisoned with your life partner right now, give us a call. Ask us for help about anything. If you don't want to use your name, give a different name to protect your privacy. The number to call is 888-627-6008 to call in. This is your opportunity for some free laser love coaching if you have any pain around relationship. For me, it's just such a big deal that women are told from early age that we need to be young and beautiful to be loved. And honestly, in my experience, and I've seen that it's not just me, when I was, you know, I guess technically at my cutest in my teens and 20s, let's say, dating was torture. It was horrible because it was predatory. And I felt more like meat than a person. As we get older, dating started to become more like people. I found that more men, I was meeting more men. I also got really strategic and started dating intelligently. Nobody taught me how to date until I was in my mid-40s and actually started getting help on that. So honestly, one of the things is just learning better strategies for dating and for relationship. That's like when Devin is talking about, you know, we learn from our mistakes. It's really valuable, but we also want to reduce the learning curve and the pain. But by the time I met Devin, I was actually in a really secure place. I was enjoying dating. I was meeting really wonderful guys, and he was the best. And definitely worth canceling all other options because I noticed I was starting to think, I was just hoping, well, this guy might be as good as Devin. And when I started thinking that, it's like, okay, maybe it's time to stop. Also, I just really wanted to sleep with Devin so badly. We have different versions of when that actually happened.
Well, we're not discussing that today.
No, we're not. You'll have to come back for that.
Right.
But we have, I think, about 10 more minutes, so we can take a caller. 888-627-6008. Do you have any questions about dating or relating? And we're here for you. And if not, we can talk forever, especially Devin is a great storyteller. So what would you like to say?
I would like to say that, you know, I think the larger issue for me is my wife is much better about setting up the whole concept of a radio show. My whole thing is really that you can have the kind of relationship that you want to have. My guess is, in much the same way I had to start adjusting to what it was that I really wanted and what was really meaningful to me. I think we live in a place where the outside world really sort of dictates to us what we think we're supposed to have, whether it be the picket fence or single and fun or whatever it is. I think the bigger trick was for me is I had to really start listening to myself in terms of what it is that I really wanted, what was going to make me thrive, what was going to make my partner thrive, what were the compatibility. You know, like I had gotten to a place where I had already lived with other women. I had already dated a ton of different kinds of women. Many of them were wonderful. And for the most part, they weren't for me. And I think the largest problem was is that I stayed in relationships too long because I really didn't know what I wanted. I thought that somehow, like, you know, I have a buddy of mine that he was standing in line with at a bank, and he turned around and he said to himself, "Oh, that's my wife." And it was no more complicated than that. And the two of them have been happily married with two kids for like 15 years. That, for the most part, is not what the average person experiences. Most of us have to kind of fight for love. We have to fight to have love. We have to start really thinking about, sort of in a proactive way, how do we, you know, manage the kinds of relationships that we get into? Because I think for the most part, we end up with going out with people that we know really aren't right from the beginning. And we keep hoping that they're going to become the kind of person that we want them to be. And that, to me, it has never been a recipe of success.
I think one of the biggest gifts for me of age is I stopped dating potential. I stopped dating with the idea of who this person is going to become. And I started dating with the idea of, do I love who he is right now if he never changes? Because wanting someone to change, loving potential, is really not loving the person. In fact, I think it's really, really disrespectful to that person. And you should release that person as soon as possible, because there is probably somebody out there who's a good fit. One of Devin's strong selling points, besides being so much cuter than his photos online, and I also felt like I could be just comfortable, relaxed in myself on our first date, which lasted about 6 hours. But I asked him on our first date why he got divorced. I am wife number 2 through 26, I guess, because he was married once before me. And everything he said about his first wife is kind. You know, he always says she's a lovely woman, and I've met her, and she is. She's a lovely woman. She's beautiful, and she's nice. She's great. But what she wanted is not what he could be or provide. And those differences don't make him wrong or bad. Those differences are actually a better fit for me. That's the difference, was that who he is actually is a better fit for me than it was for her. And I think that was very painful for both of them. But now she's with a better partner, and Devin's with a better partner for him.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Devin, what do you think? Why do people fall in love? Can you bring in a little Kabbalah on that?
Well, this is a larger subject, and it probably
requires...
And you
have 6 minutes.
Yeah, I have 6 minutes. I'm so glad that
actually,
this...
Actually, let's make it 3 minutes.
3 minutes? I think I'm probably going to hold off on some of the Kabbalah stuff just so we can get it, like give it an introduction that it's due. But I think what we are looking for is sort of a sense of completion. I think we're looking for an opportunity to be of service to another person. But again, much of, and this is a Kabbalistic perspective, that a lot of the thoughts that we have and a lot of the things that sort of will encourage us is going to go for sort of like the easy magical thing. The easy thing that doesn't take any work. It's just going to be a magical, perfect fit, and I don't have to do a single thing ever. And won't that be the best, most fun thing? And it's challenging, because that's not the long-lasting thing. I think when we start dating, we don't necessarily have a plan. I think what our plan is, oh, well, I want somebody cute and interesting and funny, and that's all great. But really, if you are looking for a bigger picture kind of thing, in other words, whether it be a white picket fence or you guys have three sheepdogs and you're living in a one-bedroom apartment, I think you have to start getting in touch with that idea within yourself of what's really the thing that I need, rather than what it is that I've been told I want. And those are challenging ideas to kind of come across. I think, you know, certainly when we are in our teens, we're sort of coming out of the princess phase of our understanding of what a relationship is. And then in our 20s, nobody sort of lives up to that thing. And then in the 30s, we're scrambling around trying to think, well, what is the thing? And, you know, I think for a lot of people, you know, it may be a big secret, but I think a lot of people are really looking for long-term, you know, matter of fact, it's an interesting travel conundrum, which is when I travel, I think of, you know, here I am visiting a place, but would I want to live here? And there are many countries I love visiting that I don't necessarily think I would want to live in. And I think that's the difference between, you know, the idea of who we want to date versus who it is that we want to marry, right? We want to be seen with somebody cute and beautiful and smart and funny and have all these wonderful qualities. But the big picture is, do you want to grow old with that person? Is that the person have the personality, the spirit, the virtues, the nobility that sort of align with yours that are going to help you be the person that you need to be? And, you know, hopefully for those who are listening, I hope that most of you are with the right person. But if you're like me, you know, you may have to go through a little bit of time to kind of really assess and get in touch with yourself in terms of what it is that you really need in your life in order to have the things that you want in terms of that big picture.
And I think in future episodes, we'll go deeper into the whole dating and screening process. By the way, Devin and I met online, and Devin didn't think he was going to meet his person online. In fact, he thought he was going to meet his person like at the library or the checkout line at Trader Joe's. And I feel really bad for that woman at the library or the checkout line at Trader Joe's who's still waiting for you.
It's very upsetting.
Because I got
she's
there
still
first.
She's squeezing melons or something off to the side to test their freshness. I guess it's going to be a long wait.
So why did you go online? I was looking for a life partner. Why did you go online if you didn't think you were going to find your person online?
You know, I went online as sort of like as a testament to the universe. Like I believed in, I mean, again, these are all really much, much bigger questions, but I believe that there's sort of a universal order to things. And I think part of what I needed to do by putting myself online was to say, okay, universe, I'm looking for the right person. And by signing up, it wasn't the expectation. You know, sure, I would go out on some dates, but I had a much clearer vision in my mind of what it is that I wanted, who I wanted to be with.
So we are coming very close to the end. I think we've got about 2 minutes. Is there any, like, final thing you would want to say about love?
I thought we were saying it, which is that, you know, I think a starting point is that we start really kind of assessing who it is that we are, what our likes and dislikes are, and getting a clearer picture of the kind of person we want in our life to be sharing that with. Some people are going to be really perfect for that, and a lot of other people are going to have like a different thing. Like, you know, one of the things that was not working in the relationship with my first wife was that, you know, I think she really had, she wanted a guy who had a certain measure of consistency. She wanted sort of like, I believe this is only my interpretation. I think she wanted a guy who was much more 9 to 5, somebody who was like, okay, we have a vacation between November 23rd and December 6th. And I think that made sense to her. And, you know, for me, I'm not that guy. That's why I'm doing a radio show at 53 years old at 5:55 in the, you know, the afternoon, because I'm capable of doing that. And so really when we started kind of like putting down the X's and O's of strategy of life, she wanted different things that it wasn't going to be easy for me to give her. And even if I did, I probably was going to be wholly unsatisfied with that prospect, not because she wasn't wonderful, but because it wasn't my natural state of being.
And when I saw Devin, I saw, wow, this is somebody, because actually 9 to 5, not bad, but I wanted to travel the world. And I see someone who has been a poker shark, has been an antique store owner, has been a movie editor, has been a house builder, is a writer, is like, you fill in the blank. And it's like, oh my God, this is a Renaissance man who can land on his feet. And what made his first wife feel insecure actually made him a better fit for me. And that's a really big thing. So that thing that you think is the reason nobody will love you actually may be what makes you a better puzzle piece for your right person. I think we are getting close to, I'm waiting to look from the producers of the show when they pull the cord on the show. But to wrap it up, I just want to say right now, we are doing the show every other week. So because it's every other week, it may be tricky to know when it's happening. So if you go to crazy, oh good, we have 2 minutes. If you go to crazysexymidlifelove.com and you sign up there for notifications, you will also get Devin's ebook called Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. If you're marriage-minded or you just want to have a less painful experience with men, by the way, we are totally open for business, for phone calls, whether you're a woman or a man, whether you like women or men or third genders, doesn't matter. Love is love is love is love. One of the joys of getting married around the planet is getting to experience love with different cultures. And every country we go to, it's like we have our new family there. We have our Croatia family. We have our San Marino family. We have our Turkey family. We have our Bali family. We have a bunch of different Mexico families because love just brings us all together. I think the last thing that I would want to say is I've heard many horrible things for many decades telling us to settle. And I would say, don't settle. Be realistic, be kind, be generous, but also be really honest with yourself, as Devin says, about what you want. And that should complete our show for now. Thank you so much for joining us.
And love each other.
Yes.
Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser, men are more relationship ready, and if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.